The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Friday night, October 23rd, 2015, and I am coming to you live from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and it is beautiful here. It was pretty cold when I came in earlier this week, but it's warmed up pretty nicely, and so I'm very pleased with that. And I'm very pleased that you are joining us tonight here at the Lotus Place. We have a hot show tonight. We normally have our Black Butter Love Talk, which we'll still have a little bit of that, but I just had to address these church bombings, church arsons that have been going on, which are very reminiscent of the 60s. Those that were around during the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Alabama. Bombingham, as they used to call it back then, from all the bombing, Bombingham, Alabama. There's been a rash of church arsons in the St. Louis area and a few others across the country. I'm not quite sure of all the cities, but in particularly in the St. Louis area near Ferguson. So, of course, no one has been brought in for those arsons, but we do know what that's all about, even though people are saying, oh, we don't know what it's connected to and all that. How are you, Aja? Welcome in.
Namaste. How are you, Black Rose?
Namaste. Namaste. I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Yeah. In Virginia Beach, Virginia. I haven't been down to the beach yet. I need to do that.
Oh, you have?
Oh, I have not been to the beach yet. For the past 2 or 3 days, I've been trying to make it down there, but I haven't. But I'll be down there tomorrow, though. So,
okay.
So, how are things with you there in the big H-town, Houston?
Oh, everything's okay. We're supposed to be having some flash flood warnings this weekend. So, I suspect folks will be piling in the grocery stores tomorrow, stocking up, just in case they get flooded in. Oh, but I have everything
bad.
I need. That's going to be bad.
When I first moved to Houston, and when it would rain, I mean, just the slightest threat of rain, people would say, oh, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. And then it would rain. And, of course, I would go into the house because they said it's going to be bad. And I went out the window, and it's just, you know, a little rain. And I was like, well, it only rained.
Yeah.
Or if the temperature dropped, oh, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And so after about the first 2 years of being in Houston, I realized Houstonians are so accustomed to such beautiful, sunny, hot weather. Mm-hmm. The version in that is like it's bad.
It's
raining, but really though, in Houston, I now see, since I've been there what 7 years or something, now I see why they say it's going to be bad or possibly bad if it's raining, because Houston floods. It's so
low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
low.
Yes, apple bottom jeans, the fur. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, oh my God, you remember that time we were on that boat in Tampa and that little Indian lady?
She got a baby off that car.
That lady she was about 70-something years old.
Made her, how does that song say? I heard it the other night. She made her knees touch her elbows. I was like, come on, girl. She was about 70 years old. I said, come on. I can't. My knees. I said, oh, come on, dance. I said, oh, come on. We're on the boat. Let's have fun.
It's your birthday.
It was her birthday. Mm-hmm. But she got up and started popping, and
her daughters were so shocked.
Oh my God! And they said, "Thank you for making this one of her best birthdays."
Right.
I said, oh my God.
Right.
Oh, she had a ball, honey. She had those knees touching elbows. She had her knees touching the elbows, honey.
Yes.
She was working and stuff, and I'm sick. Oh, man, old lady, you're working it, honey. I know y'all Arab people got that black in you, baby. I know it. Come on, honey. Come on.
Exactly.
Yes, honey.
I tell people, I said, Black Rose can sell a bathing suit to an Eskimo. You got that lady off her chair, resting comfortably, but you knew somehow that she wanted to get loose because she got loose.
Unwrap that little ponytail, and I thought she was going to get on top of the table and swing it for a minute. We have fun. Delta Cougar, Delta's on the line. How are you, Delta?
Hi, Delta.
How y'all?
Fine. How y'all?
Wonderful. Splendid.
Oh,
I am splendid.
Yes.
Doing just good, just fine, Delta. Looking forward to coming to see you and Papa next month.
Looking forward to it.
Are you going to catch a possum for us?
Oh, right. Now, we're not only going to catch a possum, we're going to catch a raccoon, too.
Lord, have mercy.
And Papa already, he already got him some squirrels in up in there.
Wow! They say that squirrel is fresh. I smell squirrel cooking on the grill, and it smells really, really good. But I don't want a little squirrel. He needs to come here to Houston and get some of these squirrels because these are some gigantic squirrels. They're bigger than my Chihuahua. The squirrels, I may catch y'all a couple of them, bring them down there.
You remember when we heard the squirrel talking?
And I had never heard a squirrel talk in my life until I moved to Houston.
Right.
Those things are scary. They have claws like raccoons.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid. I told my dog to come on back in the house, honey, because that squirrel looks ferocious.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Delta. Hey, Delta, I got to just jump off for a quick second. Can you run through the hot topic for us and get us started? Let me just give me 2 minutes to just take care of something. You know, I logged on at 9:00 because I was still on my central time zone, and then I realized that, oh my God, I'm on the East Coast, and I was about to go to bed, and I realized, I said, oh my God, I'm in a different time zone. I thought Scotty had forgotten about me. I said, oh Jesus,
you're on a different time zone.
Scotty on? Scotty got us open tonight.
Yes, I'm here.
I was making sure Scotty got us online tonight.
Oh, yes, he has us online. Yes. See, when I called in, all I could hear was that little, conference call music. So I didn't know what happened and had to, realize that I'm on a different time zone. So I was logging in at my regular Houston 9:00 Central Time. Just sitting there, just waiting.
Yeah, we got so many great hot topics.
Go ahead on and hit them up, Delta, and I'll join right back in a minute.
We know about the man down in Florida that got killed, the drummer, over the weekend. And that is such a sad case. And we know the policeman gonna lie about what happened because he already the beginning of the line now. And he was, now how this young man gonna jump out, point a gun at you, and you shoot him. You shoot at him 6 times, but hit him 3. Then he was found such a medicinal waste. Never been in any type of trouble. Never had a speeding ticket. I found out today the young man's father is a pastor of a church. And they was in Jamaica getting ready, he said, to bury the mother.
Oh, my goodness, really?
Yes, he said this on TV. They were getting ready to bury the mother.
Oh, no.
Yes, and that is so sad. So, you know, the police was at one police station, and they said, oh, he don't have nothing in his record, but we finding out that's a lie. Finding out drugs came up missing from another case that he was doing. A couple more things came up missing. So to keep him from being fired, they was doing an investigation on him, and he resigned and left and went and joined this police force. And he put in his report that he never been in any trouble. So right there, he's lying already. So you can't take his word for nothing.
No, once a lie, always a lie. Yeah.
You know, you can't take his word for anything. Okay, then we have another case up in New York City where our friend Canty lives. And Canty, you know, said the young man that shot the other policeman, you know, he told me, and I agree with Canty, he said the young man had been in the system ever since he was a young boy. He said the state really failed him. The whole community in the state failed him. Because when they saw he was getting in trouble, didn't nobody step in and mentor him. So now everybody wants to come in now and be the accuser, be the judge and jury from him killing this man. But where was they at when he was in the system at 11 and 12 and 13? Mm-hmm. Where was the people there? Since everybody want to crucify, where are they? Mm-hmm. Okay, then we got another case. Now, y'all, I heard some shickety stuff long time ago.
Shickety.
Some shickety stuff right here. They have it. Now, y'all need to look this one up. They have a judge in Alabama. I sent it to y'all by text. And I need to get Scotty's number so I can start texting Scotty all these stories, too. Mm-hmm. And they turn around this guy down in Florida, this judge. They had the people outside. They had called the blood bank at the courthouse. And they had the blood bank at the courthouse. Now, what kind of shiggity is this?
A blood bank at the courthouse?
Yes, they had the blood bank at the courthouse. And it was one of us.
They did what?
A black dude had these black people and black and white people, poor people, who could not pay their fines. Made them go and give blood and told them that they were going to give them a coupon for $100 for giving blood, and they were going to take $100 off their fine.
Oh, really?
The people got so upset because after they gave blood, they did not even go and take nothing off of their fine.
Oh, really?
And so what somebody did, they went back in the courthouse and they recorded the judge telling them what to do about going giving blood. And the judge, they recorded the judge telling the people with the blood drive, say, didn't I do good for y'all today? So
cool.
It sounded like he was getting a cut out of it. To me, that's what it sounded like.
Right.
Going on. And they recorded him. Somebody recorded him on their phone. So
that's
we have to be careful what we say. I mean, just so many. Then we got the we got another shooting. You know, up there, and I think this one was it in Memphis, this other shooting? I can't remember what Council Scotty, y'all, help me out. That shooting on campus. And this
there's one here in Texas. There's a shooting here in Texas
where a young man got killed. Four people got shot, and one was killed. But anyway, this young man, he didn't even go to that school. But they own school property, a dorm, and they shooting dice and gambling.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of mess is that? What a disgrace. And you know what? A lot of this, you know, we have to take responsibility. A lot of these kids know better. Know better, and they choose to do this. And we got to call them out on it. Because you ain't got no business gambling on campus. Now you got three innocent girls walking by, and they were shot accidentally.
Okay, Delta, that happened in Nashville. At Tennessee State University.
Gambling on campus.
Tennessee State.
Shooting dice.
They were gambling, shooting dice, and let's see, they were playing a dice game in a quad on campus in a courtyard when a physical fight erupted about 10:50 p.m. Central Time. At some point, someone involved in the game pulled out a gun and started firing multiple rounds. A 19-year-old man who police say was not a student died at the scene. In addition, three 18-year-old female students who were walking by, as you stated, Delta, they were also shot. Let's see.
I might have got the radio on.
That was, you know, one of those background ads that popped up on my computer. One woman was grazed by a bullet, but she didn't seek medical attention. You know, they rough and but, let me see. The two other women were transported to Vanderbilt for non-life-threatening injuries. So a number of students were also in the area, and they were passing by, but they were not hit by the barrage of bullets.
But all them that was out there gambling need to be expelled. Every last one of them.
Yeah, they up there gambling. Should be studying.
Then we got six white boys was arrested at Mississippi State, and they beat a boy severe, and they think it may have been like initiation or something for the they fraternity, and every one of them took a mug shot of them, and every one of them is smiling. They are so proud. It's like they were taking a Sunday picture. And you got a young man who was beat severe. And you remember how they did the Gina 6, where these white boys jumped on these black boys, and these black boys started defending themselves, and they tried to get them to life in prison, and hit these young white boys. Got nothing. It's just sad. Nobody's speaking out against it.
That's what you call white privilege. Families are probably connected to this person and that person, and then, you know, white people.
And every time a black boy get a little money, every time he get a little money, he go get one of them poor white trash, poor filthy white trash.
Well, I tell you, parents of these young black boys just really need to start instilling in them at an early age who they should be with and what's for them and what are the consequences when they do get involved from people outside of their race.
Can I give you a couple, one more, two?
Of course, they got Delta.
They got two cases I want to reference with this young
this young father had been fighting for his daughter. Now, for that was safe. I can't put it up, y'all know I can't put it up on my computer.
Yes, we're
going to
get you a computer.
We're going
to have a GoFundMe for Delta.
No, I got
two.
One, but I can't use it that good. Y'all got to teach me how to work it good.
When I come there next month,
when
we're going to have
come,
a tutorial.
Y'all teach me how to work my computer.
Yes, yes. It's time now. Yes.
And then,
okay, go ahead,
this
Delta,
young man, this young man, he had been fighting for his daughter. His wife and him had separated, and the young man was in the service, black boy, he was in the service, and the wife goes and gives his baby to a white family who had an already adopted by three or four children, and give his baby without his permission, and he started fighting them for that baby some years ago, and the court just finally awarded him his daughter. Finally awarded him his daughter, like, I'm trying to think how many, I think he just got his daughter about a month ago. Now the white family jumped up and started a GoFundMe.
Oh my goodness.
A GoFundMe. And they have raised $22,000, I heard, already, trying to appeal, like, waiting for, well, they did appeal it. They raised this money, and people giving them this money to appeal, and they waited for a ruling to see if the judge is going to let them take this man's child. And the adoption was done illegal. And I know I called to Washington, D.C. At any time that an adoption, that you can prove that it was done illegal, that child by law has to be returned. That's the law.
Any
time you can show any type of deception in an adoption, the federal law says that adoption can be overturned. That's how the man won. That is a true testimony that it can be done. So okay, then we are going into, I think we have one more. Then we have another case where these Christian white folks. Now I saw this on the news, but I can't remember where it's at. But it was on the news today. They wanted to be so holy. Now, y'all know I believe in a little Jesus. I believe in. So they wanted to be so holy, these white folks. And it sounds just like the white people who adopt my grandkids. These people wanted to pretend like they so holy, and they wanted to look out for the children. And they wanted to protect the kids and all like this. Well, they went and adopted three sisters. And when they adopted these three sisters, they claimed that these children's mother was on drugs, too. And they get all this money. So what they did, they adopted these kids, and now they don't want the kids. So
why don't they want them now?
They probably got all that. See, they give them a big cash bonus up front for each one of those kids. And then they get so much money and money. So now they said the kids are so bad that they can't handle the kids. They drug kids and they don't want them. They, you know, like kids just having cancers and they said they don't want them. So now, listen at this, y'all. I did not know this exists. They turn around. They sent the other girl back. So when they try to give the other two, after they meet with their adopter, they sent one girl back. Then they had two more children. They adopted those two. And then about a year later, they didn't want those two. So they tried to take them two back. And they wouldn't let them take them back. And they told him that if they take Bottom back, they're going to classify him as unfit parent, and they're going to remove their three master bars. They had three master bars that they owned, and they're going to remove them bars from the home. So they couldn't give the bars back. But do you not know, y'all need to look this up, says there's a law called Jermaine. It's called Jermaine. It's like for an animal, really. That's the way the kind of lady explained it. It's called a Jermaine law. And like if you had a pet, this kind of lady explained it. She said if you had a pet and you didn't want this pet, you could take this pet to your friend's house and give this pet to your friend and get around it. Because they told him that if you turn these kids in back into the state, we're going to take your other three kids. But what they did, they found one of their friends, and their friends wanted the other two girls. And so what they did is they let their friend took custody of the other two girls. And it's called the Maine law or something. It was on the news today. It was on worldwide news. And they said that they could get around the welfare department. Like these white folks could come and get up all these children like they doing. They can take the children and adopt them out to their friends, and the welfare of nobody have to get involved. Nobody. It's a way to get around it. It's been on the book. You can't challenge it or nothing. It's legal. It is legal. Legal.
Well, I mean, even though it may be legal, it seems like you can still challenge that in court.
It can't be challenged. What they do with once they it's called they said it started out to do with pants. Some kind of way the lady said.
Hey Delta. Delta, let's take a quick break, Delta, and we'll come right back. I want to try to look that up. Man law? Let's take a quick break.
It's a law.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, we are back. Let's see. All right, Delph, you were telling us about this case with the children being adopted out.
I never heard of a law like this. And they said it's legal. People can go and, like these white people are going, they can go and adopt all these children. And they can take the children and pass them to their friends.
I see this Isles of Man Court of Justice, and it's pertaining to adoption. Isles of Man Government Adoption and Fostering Information.
And it's also going to be on 2020 tonight. But they were saying it's legal. It's legal. It's really legal. They can take the children and pass it on. And the lady said, it's just like you having an animal and you don't want your animal. And you can take your animal and give it to your friend. You can take your dog or your cat and give it to your friend. And there's nothing nobody can do about it. And they said,
that's what they did back in slavery. During slavery, they just took the children.
And they saying that what these people did is legal, and it's nothing the government or nobody can do about it because it's legal. And I was blown away. I never heard of anything like this before.
It's just some shiggity
going on.
Oh, they keep some shenanigans going on. I also want to bring up another one of our topics for tonight.
you're talking about, you know, I rarely have my television on, but since I'm in the hotel room, I had the television on, and so I saw, I did see, I think it was one of those, what they call them, love and hip-hop shows or something like that, and I heard it on the radio while I was driving. I heard about this one guy, I guess he's some guy that's been having some kind of gay affair on one of those shows. Anyway, so he's a hip-hop artist, and he apparently came out. And I do recall hearing some people speak about how this guy was on this show or whatever, and he was kissing another guy in bed and all of this stuff on that show. So the guy apparently came out this week, so there was this big talk about will hip-hop accept gay, the gay lifestyle. Will gay people in hip-hop begin to... I mean, somebody's moving around making a lot of noise. but will people accept gay people in hip-hop? Will hip-hop accept gay people? So, okay. Somebody's moving around. We're going to let you get settled so that we can talk. Okay. Thank you. And so, I want to talk about that because, you know, oh, God, if you go on YouTube, it's just so much gay hip-hop this, gay hip-hop that, all of that stuff, and all of these different people. So I want to talk about that. Well, see if anybody wants to talk about that, if anybody wants to share a comment on what do they think about, will hip-hop accept gay people, or will... We start seeing now a lot of gay hip-hop artists. I know there are several people that talk about the show Empire having the gay artists, and is that going to allow more gay people to be able to come out and feel more free in hip-hop? But you know what? They have so many of these gay hip-hop artists now that are out of the closet and in the closet. I mean, really, I don't even think it's a big deal because you have this one guy, I forgot his name, I think Young Thug or somebody, I don't know. He wears dresses and all of this stuff, and you see all these different people like, what's his name, Puff Daddy, and somebody else, and they wear all of these skirts, and Pharrell wears these little lace-up, tall lady-looking boots, and Kanye West wearing skirts, and they carrying purses and colorful purses, and I mean, these are not just these little man bags. I'm talking about these are purses. They wearing, like, boho bags, like, big bags, you know, and I just, let me tell you something, if a guy come pick me up and he has a purse bigger than mine, you got to go. I'm not dealing with that crap. That, no, we're not getting ready to do that. So, I don't like it. I don't like these guys with these boots and these skirts and boots with the fur and the skirts and the jackets or the whatever the crap they wear. I don't like all of that stuff, and I sure do wish that more women would, hey, King B, we got King
hey,
B on
the line with us. I've been on for a while, but they delayed and put me to unmute the phone.
Yes, King B, we didn't see you there, but welcome in, King B. How are you?
Yeah, I was talking to Dr. Short about the serious plight of Reverend Edmund Pinckney. It's a serious situation. Don't you know they cut off his phone communication and transferred him 500 miles away from where he was originally in prison. So they intend to either kill him or they want to break him. And
we were supposed to have somebody, his wife or daughter, or somebody was supposed to contact us. We've been trying, I think Mother Hatter's been trying to get us that connect so that we can at least get some updates and know what's going on over there.
Yeah, I got it from the wife earlier, and Dr. Short, he's worked with her. I got they call the police call her now, but I'll call her tomorrow morning. But no, it's tragic. It's tragic because you have a lawyer that is not doing any lawyering, who's been mislawyering. You've got people who supposedly have been in the know to support him. They betrayed him, and he's got no one fending for him that is serious, and his poor wife is keep her in prayer that justice will be coming around the mountain, because this man here has put his body on the line for a righteous cause, and that he was not sure of his backing. But getting to the top of what you're talking about, gay and hip-hop, I've noticed a trend now to cause our people to accept this black men becoming effeminate. And, even though they look masculine with the muscles and all, but they are still showing signs that they want to thrust this down our throat. Because, you know, we're so deaf, dumb, and blind that we are being inoculated to a point of no return, where we're going east instead of going south, north instead of going west. We're just going every which way but loose. We have no discipline, and we are not ethical. We are religious, but we're not ethical. And the black church right now has manufactured a situation where it has become a cult. These churches are—it's not a cult now, where homosexuality is rampant in the black church, going from the pulpit to the door.
Oh, I have a story on that too, Canty, about this pastor. This pastor killed this football player. I think he played for like a major league football, mm-hmm. not the NFL. He played for whatever the other little second team is. I don't know all that stuff. But anyway, the pastor was having a relationship, having an affair with this football player's wife. And the pastor killed the young man. I think he even killed him in the church. Okay. Killed the football player. Yes. So these pastors, oh my goodness, they are just doing too much. Hey, we want to welcome in Sarah. I believe this is Sarah. Is that you, Sarah? 404?
Yes, that's me. Greetings to everyone.
Hey.
I had it on mute.
Hey.
I do it all the time. How are you, Sarah?
Hey, I'm doing good. King B, Black Rose, Delta, as well as Icy. How are y'all ladies doing?
Good to hear your voice.
Oh, Icy's not on with us yet. That's Aja.
Oh, Aja. Oh, okay. I thought it sounded like Icy. Well, hey, ladies. How y'all doing?
Hi, namaste, Sarah. Namaste. Good to hear your voice.
You too, ladies, and Kimby.
Thank you.
But touch on what you were asking, you were talking about the homosexuality. And I'm now that you mentioned that, it has always been the thing in this dominant culture, but they have to use black men and black women within which to push it. Because you see the Laverne Cox is Orange is the New Black. They took this man and turned it into a woman. Then they have all of these men running around. And then what makes it so bad was when they came up with a line of makeup specifically for men. Now, everybody know Prince back in the day when Prince used to do that androgynous thing. But Prince was still a man. He still chased women. He was not into chasing the booty. No man's booty. Right. He was into real women, even though you wear the platform shoes and the do all the
hair stuff. And all of that.
Yeah.
Ruffle shirts and all of that stuff.
That was just a stage.
Exactly.
It was a gimmick that he did for his performance, because it gets the crowd into the thing. But he was not an effeminate man. He still liked women. He had a whole bunch of women that he was into. And he wasn't fronted. But this new crowd that they came up with, as I said, they came up with a nail polish, because they got nail polish from men. And you see a lot of these artists, they're wearing red.
Snoop Dogg and Dog.
Snoop Dogg
and Dog had a picture with his little nails.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
They have makeup. They have actual foundation makeup. They're doing their eyebrows. When you start seeing men going to the barbershop and waxing their eyebrows, and doing all of these things, it showed you the direction where this thing was going. And it was out there for a long time ago, where black men, and when we get into something, we go for it real hot and heavy. And
right.
That's what has been taking a hold. And not only that, and as you said, with Empire, which is the most recent debacle, I was just online and I just saw this, and, you know, Angela Bassett of all people, man, I can tell you, we are going downhill so fast where, you know, American yes. Horror Story, where she is in a sexual relationship with a character of Lady Gaga. This all is right. what they have. This is, yes, pull it up online and you will see it out there where Angela Bassett and Lady Gaga in a simulated sexual relationship. Now, you see, I always tell people, you see, it started off with this Emmy Awards when they gave it to Viola Davis. Right after they give Viola Davis her Emmy Award, what did they do with her character in the next season? She having a sexual relationship with
a fair, yeah, with a woman. Exactly. Yeah. That was part of the agreement. That was yeah, part of the agreement.
That's why she got the Emmy.
Exactly. This is what you got to do.
And, you know, because first of all, they had her character married to a white man. That wasn't
yep. right.
No, they had to right. put her in the bed with a white woman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where we are going. This is where we are going downhill with the entertainment industry, and these things are going to be around for decades, years. Yeah. It's going to go all around the globe. That's why the people in all part of the country, they have no respect for us. Because all of this force is coming out from the United States, and these same white people who call themselves Jews, they're the ones who are pushing this propaganda. They're writing these scripts, and they're the ones who's because every last one of these shows, there's a Jewish writer behind it. There's these same damn Jews, and we always like to keep saying, you know, oh, Jews are our friends, and we have to tie ourselves to the civil rights movement, and they help us. No, they didn't help us. They didn't help us. They did this stuff because. They had to legitimize the gay agenda, and the only way for them to do it is to use the civil rights movement within which to make gay the new model minority. So now gay have eclipsed black people. They are the face of civil rights now.
You saw what Jesse Jackson's organization did, Rainbow Coalition. They sold it to the gays, the trademark, sold to the gays.
It's always been thing because Jesse and all of them, they've all sold out. Al Sharpton, every last one of them has sold out. And you saw that damn Benjamin Clark. Now he represented this guy, Corey Jones, in Florida, his family, the guy
yes.
that got killed over the weekend.
Saw that, right?
He's
saw that, right?
Representing that family now.
Yes. And he Crump is the epitome of a social parasite. I wish there was a black lawyer other than Altamatic, who is a social engineer. We don't have any black lawyers that are truly certified social engineers. Majority of them are social parasites, and they are happy to be in that special country club, but they dare not embarrass white supremacy. And they do what they can. They do what they can to curry favors for the enemy of our people, and they are elected officials. I call them really selected officials, and they do nothing to upset white supremacy. And Zionism is our number one enemy next to white supremacy, but we also are suffering from apartheid. We've allowed ourselves to be so badly debased. And I'm trying to trust, because they know we watch Empire, and we watch How to Get Away with Murder, and we watch Scandal. So, you know, we are taken in by what they're trying to thrust out those offshore states, anesthetize our brains.
It's not only that, Ken, Keegan, and ladies. The media is dictating for black people what it is our lifestyle, because all of this stuff that you see these teachers are walking around here with their pants below their behind, tattooing themselves, all of this stuff, they're getting this stuff off the computer. So they're imitating what somebody else is writing and telling them what the hood is supposed to be like, and they're imitating it. That's why you see all that stuff in the hood. This is not the real hood. This is a simulation of what somebody else has thought up in their mind as to how black people live, and everybody else see it on the TV, and then they emulate it, and they bring it into their community, and they make their community to resemble what they see on the videos and in the movies. But that's not real life. And that's what you have running around here in the community, is people are imitating the imitators. This is not real.
That's right.
And I equate that to how Nicki Minaj comes out with this, you know, pink hair, all this cotton candy colored hair and everything. And now you see all of these girls walking around with all of this blue hair.
What's up with that?
And it just looks so crazy to me. And it's like, I just, and as you stated, Sarah, the media, they're dictating us, like, who we are. And this is what the whole world is saying. But that is not us. And these, I don't even understand. It's nowhere in the world I would allow my child to walk out of the house with some blue hair, some light blue hair. That's
you
crazy.
And I both. You and
what
I both.
What are you ready to do that?
We have allowed ourselves to be so conditioned that it's like that monkey see, monkey do mentality.
Mm-hmm. You know, we just want this to be a part of the dominant culture, and we are willing to sell ourselves out. A lot of us are willing to sell ourselves out to become a part of that culture. In all of my over 50 years on this planet, I have no tattoos. I have no fake hair, no fake eyelashes, no false nails. I have nothing fake on me. Whatever I came into this world with is what I have, because I was determined not to mark myself up. I don't have no nose ring, extra holes in my ears. I have the two holes that my father put in my ears when I was 8 years old, because we didn't get our ears pierced as children. We had to wait until we got old enough and we asked our parents. And then my father said yes, and he got the sewing needle out, and he just, I mean, that's how I got my ears pierced, with a sewing needle and thread. That's how he did it. And an ice cube.
With a needle and thread?
Yeah, that's how we do it old fashioned. He took an ice cube, put it to my ear.
Right.
And then he pushed, then he put the needle and thread through it. That's how my ears were pierced.
My sister did mine. Really? The same way.
That's how you do it, and then after you just
put the ice cube on there, and the ice cube would dig it.
Yeah, it would numb the ear so you wouldn't feel the pain, and you just push it through real quick and then tie it off with the thread, and then do the other ear the same way and then tie it off with the thread, and just keep the thread in, because it would keep the ear from closing. You just have to keep moving the thread back and forth through the hole, even though it's going to be sore for a few days, and once it has healed, the scab and stuff has healed, then you could take the thread off, and then you would put your earring in. And yeah, my father took us to the jeweler, got us, you know, two pairs of nice earrings, and that's how my ears have been. Then I have not had no more piercings since then. But we had to wait until we got old enough, because my mother would say she was not going to do it for us as babies. Like I see a lot of people do with their babies, they do it when they're first born. She said, no, these children, these girls are going to wait till they get old enough, and if they want their ears pierced, then they're going to have to make up their own mind. And that's what we did.
I think I do remember hearing about that old school technique of ear piercing. But I have another hot topic I would like to share just before we go on break, take our quick break. Did anybody hear about this story regarding the NBA player John Henson? He signed a $44 million contract with the Milwaukee Bucks, I think the first of this month. And so he went into this jewelry store called, I think,
It's called Schwank. They're a chain all over the U.S. You know, they specialize in a lot of high-end jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they must do all of their custom-made and all the...
No, they carry a line. They carry a line like all of like the Rolex and the Whitnauer and all of those Cartier type watches. Mm. They carry those top end watches that you would normally get there.
Oh, okay. See, you know, I'm not into any kind of thing like that. But anyway, so Sarah, you may have heard this. He went to the store to purchase a Rolex. Because, you know, he got his $44 million. He got a little change to spend. So he went to go and purchase a Rolex, and so he pulls up, and when he goes to the door, you know, the little buzzer's on the door, and
they look at him and like, oh my God, nigger. And they run to the back and tell him to get away, go try to shoo him away, don't want to let him in, prevented him from gaining access and all of that. And then consequently, they call the police. So the police come and they start inspecting and questioning and all of this, and they determine that, okay, this is this John Henson person, and he is an NBA player. He's a young guy, but he's a I believe.
Well, can somebody come in?
You okay?
Mike,
you yeah, Candy, come in. Yeah, come here, Mike. Meet your Mike, Candy, when you come.
Meet your Mike.
Love a boy. Yeah, that's okay. And so anyway, so finally, they allow him entrance into the store so that he can come on in and purchase his little Rolex. But the people tell, the clerks tell the cops, can you stay in here while he's shopping? And so now, I don't know if the young man purchased the watch or not. But
I would have left.
This. I would have left out of that store. But he did go to his Instagram page, and
he wrote this. Is this what he heard them Ashia?
Like, say what now?
Did he hear them tell them this?
No, it happened to him. He witnessed it himself because
I know what I'm saying. But how did the story get out? He told it.
He posted it on Instagram. He posted a picture.
Okay.
What happened? He told say that you know do not shop at this store. But then there was the newspaper in Milwaukee. I forgot what their national paper is. They wrote a story up on exactly what happened with a young man. He went to the store. He's 24 years old. Went to the store, rang the buzzer, and they saw him, big black guy, tall guy, over 6 feet tall, and everybody ran to the back of the store, called the police. Mm-hmm. The police came out there. They sat in their car, watched him for about 5 minutes, and then because he was driving one of these dealer cars, because these NBA players, they get these cars that they have to promote for the team, because I know LeBron James, he is with Kia. He drives a lot of Kia cars because that's part of his endorsement. So I think this guy was driving a Chevrolet, maybe a Tahoe or one of those Chevy cars. But it have dealer mm-hmm. plates. It didn't have regular plates. So mm-hmm. the cops came up there and ran the plates and everything, thought he was stealing the car. Now, if he was a thief, would he have stood around there for 5 minutes while these cops were eyeing him out and everything? My problem that I have with a young man is that after the police came there and they checked him out and they found everything was okay, they discovered he's an NBA Negro, got a lot of money to spend. He still here. Mm-hmm. They opened the door and he went into the store. I would have said, I don't have to go into the damn store.
Exactly. Stop begging people to wait on you where so you can spend your money.
Where's your self-respect? Because for me, once the cop clears me and says, okay, he's fine, there's nothing wrong with him, I would be in my vehicle. I would hit the gas, and I would get back on my side and tell him, you could always go up to Chicago, you can go to Minnesota, you could go anywhere area if you want to shop. You got all this kind of money. Get on a damn airplane, go to L.A., come to New York, wherever it is you do, and buy. Buy whatever you got to buy. To me, it shows how we have this thing with us that we like to blow money on foolishness, because the minute you sign your contract, here it is, you want to go here and spend maybe $10,000-$50,000 on a Rolex watch.
Mm-hmm. On a Rolex watch. So for somebody who doesn't want to sell it to you.
But look, with a $24 million contract, you can have somebody bring you a tray full of Rolex watches for you to select.
For you You don't remember when Oprah went into this,
handbag. Yes. And, she bought one of those Birkin bags, I think, for $35,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's not the first time that's happened to Oprah. Oprah is very accustomed to them discriminating against her because, when she come off that TV screen, she don't look like Oprah on TV. So they're always discriminating against her. So my thing is, he should know from Oprah's experience, this is not like this the first time this has happened. So these young people, it just goes to show you how detached they are. But so he should have already known, don't even go and patronize these businesses. I thought that we were said years ago that we were going to start boycotting these businesses. Why are y'all still trying to go and spend all of this money?
Because they have. They don't. Our young people have not been taught the history of what our people have gone through, so they are detached from the historical background of what we have to encounter during the days of pre-civil rights and during the days of post-Reconstruction. And it's just so unfortunate that the elders didn't pass it on to the youth.
But they can see what's happening right now.
They are
not on the top of that. All that money there on that watch, ain't nothing. Well, in a sense, what I mean by that, he could have took that and went in his community and could have sponsored two or three children to go to school.
So mostly, you have no connection, y'all. You see, that's where the connection comes in, because when these clerics get signed, they have a Jewish agent, a Jewish attorney, a Jewish personal assistant. They don't have nobody black there. They completely cut them off from the black community. This is where his mother would have come in handy if he had a good relationship with his mother or somebody in his family. Because there's no way that I would have a 24-year-old son that signed a multi-million-dollar contract, and I am not there to supervise him to see where this money is going. Because, first of all, you're not buying you, because the same thing happened with Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson racked up a bill with a jeweler in the Atlanta area for thousands of dollars, because these people that steer you to jewelers, that's of the Jewish jewelers, everything, because they keep the money in the Jewish family. They're going to send you a Jewish real estate agent to get you to buy a house from them, that overpriced house. Because when you get ready to sell it, you're not going to get back what you put into that damn house. That's how they do you. And there's no way in hell that I would let a 24-year-old son of mine be out here with that kind of money, and I'm not here to supervise to see what the hell is going on. I don't give a damn what your agent has to say. I'm your mama. If it wasn't for me, your ass would be here in this planet. You need to step aside, and I'm going to tell my son what to do with his money. You're not going to stand the
door. Let me give y'all a true story, since it just made me thought about it. I met this lady out of Texas. She's a former sheriff. She's on the police department. And she worked in night shift, and she was a grandmother. She had two grandsons she was raising. And one of the boys was a teenage boy, and he was real good. Y'all listen, he was very good in football and basketball. So she was, these white other sheriffs befriended her and told her, and she, cause when she came down here with me and at my table, she was just going on and on how these white people was her friend. Let me see what they did now. They were going on and on how they was her friend, and they took the boy, they told her, say, well, you can let him stay over here at our house and go to school here, cause it's a good area. And so the grandmother did. She didn't know any better. Them white devils wasn't a friend, and she did.
Nope.
So what happened was the young man had a mother, but the grandmother had been raised. And next thing you know, the grandmother gets a letter saying that she got to go to court because the mother wants custody of the boy. And the grandmother been had him here since he was 6 weeks old, raised him till he was 16, 17. So she gets in court thinking that she's going to fight the boy's mother for him. She gets in court, look to the other side. There is
the white people, the damn devils.
That she claimed that she thought they love me, they my friend. They took her grandson, and just like you said, Sarah and Canty, and worked on his mind. Worked on that boy's mind, and worked on that boy's mind. And
they see money.
They
went
to court. The judge asked the boy, did you want to stay with your grandmama? The lady said she was floored. The grandmama said she was just floored when she looked over there and saw her friend. When they asked the boy told them, no, He didn't want to stay with his grandmama. It was in the best interest for him to stay with these white people. And girl, they said the judge tried to talk. They said the white judge wanted the boy to go to his grandmother and said he was trying to do it in a roundabout way, but he couldn't just come right out.
And say
he was trying to, and said he was trying to steer the boy to go to his grandmother. And honey, they wound up taking that lady's grandson. So when they see your children got talent,
they're going to step in.
You better watch them. They're going to
step in. Because that's the same thing. That's the same thing that happened with Michael Sam, the football, the gay football player that was playing football. No, no, not the one that made the movie Yoda, not the Blind Side. I'm talking with Michael Sam, the gay.
I know Michael Sam.
Okay.
The same thing happened then. He was right up in the Houston area, you know, high potential and all of that. His wife's family, his father, they're present, because you know Prosperity Bank, they're all over here in the Texas area. So you go there in Houston on Black Rose and you see them all over the place, Prosperity Bank. The white father is the CEO of Prosperity Bank, and they took Michael Sam from his black parents and raised him for his last 2 years of high school. That is where Michael Sam had got all screwed up and all turned up like he did there. And I believe he probably got sexually molested by them damn people, which is why he turned out the way he did.
Yeah.
Because they're
so... And that's probably why
he's back in his booty up in the air. Yeah. White people that smell money, they've been around us for too damn long, and they know that if they see that you've got a talent for in the entertainment, in the athletic, you could invent some kind of technology that they can steam and use from, they're going to cut you off from your black roots, and they're going to do everything that you can. And this grandmother, I know it's a hurtful thing that happened to your friend that with her grandchild. She needs to stay as much in this child's life, because when them white people get you with him and screw him up so royally, he probably going to end up taking his life like that young boy Brower did, that they spent all the time in jail and end up committing suicide. Because that's what that boy would do.
Wait a minute. Did y'all hear the breaking news story? I forgot. I just thought about it, y'all. I'm sorry. When Sarah said that, it made me thought about it. The man that, remember when they had the ride up there, what was the place? Freddie Gray. Did y'all hear?
Baltimore.
Yeah, Freddie Gray's mother tried to commit suicide the other night.
I did see a picture of her, and I didn't know what happened.
It's been all over the news. She is so distraught over her son and what went on. She tried to commit suicide.
You sure she tried to commit suicide, or somebody tried to suicide We don't know if she did it or not, because
we sure don't.
Because
you can't pay any attention to the news.
Exactly, Aja. Because this woman just got a big settlement that she just got. Somebody could have tried and killed that woman, because you don't know what the terms of the payout could be on that money. And if they can get her off this planet and get her money, I wouldn't put because money creates enemies between people that you think are your friends.
So if anybody should maybe want to commit suicide, it is Freddie Gray's twin sister that the mainstream media never mentioned. The same young girl who asked the blacks not to go out in the street and commit rioting or be outrageous in the streets, to remember her brother in a nonviolent way. She was made to do it by that wicked gay black woman, the mayor, who forced that girl to hold a press conference, knowing full well that was her twin brother that was brutally murdered.
Yeah, Stephanie Rawlings Blake.
Yeah, and no one never told, the mainstream media never told the injuries to Freddie Gray. His neck was severed from his head, and that his voice box was crushed. What kind of ride in a van could do that kind of injury? What kind of riding in a van, even if he was riding in a van that was bumping up and down deliberately, how do you crush someone's voice box? How do you detach someone's head from the neck?
You do it
by gullible.
You do it by like how the cops did. You put your knee in the person's back, just as you see in all these police videos with how they do you. They got you on the ground, and they got their knee on your back, and they're straddling you, one right up there by your neck and your collarbone, and the other one down by your lower spine. That's what they do.
Yeah, but
all
they said
videos.
The official version was, the official version was that he was rolled around in a van for improperly handcuffed or seatbelt. He ended up in the rough ride where that's what killed him. But the media is, the mainstream media, they're not journalists. They're overly paid stenographers. So what the police says, that's what the media reports.
No, because if you...
Well, we all know that that's not true.
No, it's not, because if you're in a van with your handcuffs behind your back and you're not strapped in, and the van makes those turns, the most thing that you might do, you will fall off. You will have some bruises on your shoulder.
That's right.
Maybe
that's
on
right.
your head or somewhere on your forehead or wherever, when you fell and hit your face on the floor.
That's right.
But you're going to fall in such a way that you're going to break your neck from sever your neck completely and crush your larynx. That is impossible for it to happen to you riding in a van. These cops, they stepped on him. They put their feet in his neck. That's what they did.
Yes.
They took him.
Yes.
Because he saw him when they were dragging him to the van. His legs weren't moving. They were dragging him because his legs was immobile. He was even walking on his own. They were dragging him with his legs just loosely dangling like a rag doll.
Mm-hmm. And they should have immediately called for a medical, an ambulance for him. He should not have even been placed in that paddy wagon like that. And they know that. There shouldn't even be any kind of question about that. He should have had medical treatment, first of all, period. And they know that. That's ridiculous. They stopped the hog tying and then they started putting their knees and all of this stuff in people's backs. So that's insane. And this whole thing with this other young man, the drummer, Canty, that was killed. Very similar to what was the young man in North Carolina. Very similar to Harold. Yes, very similar to his case, seeking help. He was, on the side of the road or something. And instead of the police officers coming to this man and saying, excuse me, sir, do you need some assistance? Can I help you? Why are you always assuming that these people are criminals, in the act of doing something, talking about burglaries in the area? Yeah, there are burglaries everywhere. Burglaries
everywhere.
So everybody that's walking around in the area, they're suspect? No, it's just our black folks. And that's
but the point is Black Rose with this cop here, and Mr. Corey Jones in Miami Gardens. The cop was driving an unmarked car. This man had a broken up on the side of the road outside I-95 in the early morning hours, and he probably was on the phone calling, waiting for a tow truck to come. This cop drove up in an unmarked car and came up to him. That time of the day, if I see somebody coming up to me, no flashing lights, nothing, you don't identify yourself as a cop, I'm going to be suspect because this is in a rough part of town. I'm going to be wondering, what the hell are you doing? And this cop didn't announce himself. He came up there, saw the car, startled the man, and the man probably just, he could have had a phone or something in his hand, and he assumed it was a gun, and he started shooting, just like what happened to Amadou Diallo in New York, where they said his cell phone was a gun, and shot the man and killed it. That could be exactly what happened with this man on the side of the road. Because there comes no weapon on him. They said he had no weapon, but the cops saying that this man pointed a gun at him. It's always somebody pointing a goddamn gun at you. And no gun was in the car.
And you see, the sad thing about that so-called lawyer, he's not going to go to the courtroom and file suit. He's going to just stay in front of the TV camera like he did with Trayvon Martin, like he did with this case in Missouri, Michael Brown. This man has typical characteristics of a social parasite. I believe it's like he has the fingerprints of Sharpton all over him, where it'll be a figure announced not too far away from now that the family is suing for a certain amount of millions.
He's a settler. That's all he is.
Yes. He's not a social engineer which would go for justice, file suits. The same lawyer Trump could have gone into a courtroom in Florida when Zimmerman was on trial when it found out he had lied about his income, he was supposed to go into the courtroom and file a writ of prohibition, which means that in Florida, if you find out you lied about your income, you can be remanded to jail, and you stay in jail until your trial is over. If you're found guilty, convicted, then you still would be, you know, you'll be in jail. You're already in jail, so you go and serve your sentencing. But Trump didn't file that writ of prohibition. So even though Zimmerman lied not only about his income, he lied about the fact that he knew he was a trained boxer. So how in the world could a trained boxer let a child, not even 150 pounds, overwhelm him? And you know, it's so out of that, since this man let off, he has been in trouble. His wife even left him for beating her up. But the sad thing about the media, they don't connect the dots. And when the victim is black, black male, no one gives a damn. That's why, Ashad, did you get that break?
You know what? No, we did not get our 11 o'clock break in. And I think we were deep in a conversation because I know I lost track. And then I didn't even see that Mother Hattie is on the line with us. Mother Hattie.
Hey, Mother Hattie.
Yes, Mother Hattie.
How you doing, Mother Hattie? Wow.
Come on off that mute.
Uh-oh. Is she still on mute? No, she probably got it on mute.
Oh, hello.
Hey, I'm so sorry, Mother Hattie. Mother Hattie been on hold, too. I had stepped away from the computer screen. How you doing, Mother Hattie?
Great.
Nice and hot. Yes.
Hey, Mother Hattie.
Wonderful.
Good to hear your voice.
Hello.
Hello, Mother Hattie.
Hello.
Yes, Miss Icy.
Hey, Mama Hattie.
Hey there.
We have the educator online. I'm going to bring up some topics on some education that I've been experiencing since I've been here in Virginia, but I'll bring that up a little bit later. But Mother Hattie, we're talking about these church arsons that have been going on.
I heard about another one today. Yeah, just a little bit ago. It's the seventh or eighth one. All the others, they said, had been black churches. This one today was all pretty much white church.
In a black neighborhood. It's like some type of German-like church. And what I found quite interesting when I read the article is the reporter took great care in giving the history of this particular German church, but no history was given on the church where the nine people were killed, the church that Gabriel Prosser comes out. No, who was it, Gabriel? No, it was Denmark Vesey.
Yeah.
Was it Denmark Vesey?
I think it was Denmark Vesey,
the church where the nine people were killed.
Mother Emmanuel.
Right. And, you know, they never did give any of the real, true history of that church. The reporter took great care in talking about how people come and visit this church and all the artifacts and all of this whole kind of stuff. But yeah, that church is predominantly white, but it's in a black neighborhood. You know, they probably got a discount on the building, so they don't mind going in their black neighborhood because they know black folks not going to do nothing to them in the neighborhood. If it was the other way around, you know, that wouldn't even float. But so we talked about the arsons. The arsons. We just finished talking about John Henson, the NBA player in Milwaukee. He plays for the.
I heard all of it. But y'all remember what Brother Brown told us about those ball players? They make them sign a when they get and earn a lot of money like that. They can't do certain things, and that's
like
one of you can't help your people.
Oh yeah. A lot of them. It's not just the ball players. It's a lot of them. A lot of
Be involved.
You can't
be involved in any kind of movement of social justice to cause any kind of attention to be called to your team. This one is involved in this because of that. And if you notice that those ball players that did come out on some of the issues, they kind of quieted on back down right afterward. because they somebody probably told them,
Yeah, was trying to say a little something. He was trying to step up for a minute there, but I don't really hear anything else about what he's doing or saying. So, yeah, and we're also talking about these.
What about this player for Cleveland Cavaliers? The star player for Cavaliers.
LeBron James.
Yeah, he had came in against the shooting of it was Michael Brown. And
I know he came out on the Trayvon Martin. Because him and some of the others, you know, they had their hoodies on. Oh, he did come out for Eric Gardner because they came out and wore their I Can't Breathe.
Yeah, I Can't Breathe. Yeah, Kobe Bryant did. All of them did, too.
So I was really surprised about that, I must say.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised about that. Now, I'll tell you a little artist that has been speaking out, Janelle Monae there in Atlanta, Georgia. She's made a couple of statements and been participating in a few protests and rallies and things of that nature, as well as this hip-hop rapper from back in the day that I used to really like. He was a part of a tribe called Quest, Q-Tip. He participated in a lot of the marches and the rallies as well. So you have a few, but it's just really a few. It really is a few. You can count them on one hand, pretty much. But your Beyoncés and all of these people that could really make a difference, these Nicki Minaj's. I even read Nicki Minaj's statement when she said she's not getting ready to say anything about all of that stuff because she can't mess up her money. So she just asked me, at least she told the truth. At least she just kept it real about that. I don't like it no way. So she's neither here nor there for me with her.
You see, a lot of them, as I said, it's the agents that they're tied into, with these Jewish agents that they're tied into, who controls the media and all of these entertainment aspects of their career. There cannot be anything, any kind of pro-black activism cannot come from that end. If they do it, they have to do it anonymously and on the cover. Because the minute they start showing that they're willing to help the black community, then at least blacks in the United States, like Oprah could go to South Africa and open a school for black girls, do all these kind of stuff outside the United States. But the minute that you want to put your money into the United States and want to invest in the black community over here, they're going to put up all kinds of roadblocks. And the next thing you know, your career is going to go off the track. That's how they do it. Their whole idea is that white people are going to select a few blacks to elevate them and put them in a position of status. But the idea is that we're putting you here, but you're here to support white supremacy. If you reach back and you try to help them Negroes, we're going to take everything away from you. We're going to snatch the rug from under you. And that's why a lot of these people, they can't do anything, because our society has become so embedded with white society as a result of this civil rights movement that went off the track. That you know, the only way to do it is a complete revolution. That's the only thing that's going to have to be done, because you cannot, the way out with electronic currency and everything is tied electronically, whereby at a push of a button, you can pretty much wipe out somebody else's account. With just a push of a button, you don't have to go into a bank and write no withdrawal slip and all that kind of stuff. You do it over the phone electronically. And people, they control it. They can wipe you out like that. So the way how things are tied up now it's almost impossible for us really within which to navigate the system. And it's not only that, since you're speaking about that, how about what's going on in Kentucky with Patino and this woman who came out and saying that she was using sex to entice these... Yeah, and she's recruiting her own daughters, you know. This is stuff that has me scratching my head, and I was saying, you know, to a couple of friends of mine, I said, you know what, this is bad enough that this woman did that she allowed herself to be used to entice other black ball players within which to sign to play for Louisville. But when you want to take your own daughter and prostitute and put them out here to do these type of work, something is wrong with you, because I don't feel sorry for this woman anymore, because you just did this to your daughter. These girls were underage. She did that. They can come after her now for for pimping and whatever other charges because she put it in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They were supposed to be on The View today, as a matter of fact, or one of those shows. I think, did you see them, Delta? They were supposed to be on The View. I know you watch all of those shows like that. Did you see them on The View, Delta? Are you
no, I didn't see it today. I didn't get a chance to see The View today.
I saw it on ESPN. There was a video on ESPN where she, and she looked all crazy as hell, the mother, because she had them fair contacts in her eyes. She had a crazy wig on her head. Both of her daughters, you know, had them crazy looking wigs on their heads. And I'm just saying, you know what? I understand times are hard, and you got to do what you got to do. And the point of the matter is that the guy, this guy, McGee guy, who asked us to go between, because Patino is putting the blame all on this McGee. I think his name is Andre McGee, who is a coach somewhere out there in Missouri. Now, he got put, you know, which you might as well know, he might as well clean out his office, because them white people are going to fire his behind. Because they're going to fire him from that assistant coaching job. Because Patino might end up getting off scot-free again, because you know white people are, they lie. But he blaming the black guy, say, I had no knowledge of it. You know, it's all on his fault. He just, you know, you can't be running a game like this where these girls are coming on campus. They're running a strip club on campus with alcohol and drugs and all the stuff going on up there. Are you going to tell me that Patino didn't know what was going on?
Right. He knew exactly
what was going on.
Of course he did. Mm-hmm. Of course he did. Mm-hmm.
He's trying to play that. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know what was going on. Like, what's that other little freak man that was molesting those children up in Philadelphia?
Sandusky. Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno.
Yeah. Wasn't that a scandal?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come to find out he was neck deep up in all of it, and all of a sudden he come up with cancer. I'd end up dropping dead a few months later, and then all of a sudden everybody feels sorry for him. And they put back up his statue, and all of a sudden, you know, Joe Paterno this and Joe Paterno that. But before, his name was Mutt.
Yeah, he knew what was going on.
Sorry, Jerry.
And if you don't know,
not only did those guys know what was going on, that deal was way up the chain, because that a friend of mine who is a nurse out there said that those children were being prostituted and molested for, you know, CEOs of companies and all of that. It was the chain was way up there. That's why you can get the prosecutor to not come out on certain things. It controlled that for so long to keep those boys' appetites, you know, satisfied, who wanted little boys. And that was some really high up there stuff.
Because even the president of the college, she had to end up resigning from Penn State, because it reached so far up into all circles, because they were running a pedophilia ring up in that area, and it reaches to the highest level of the collegiate, as well as probably on the political realm, really all was running.
That was some high level stuff there.
It was. So that's why they had to hurry up and rush Sandusky out of there, push his behind up in jail, and tell him, you know, you better shut up or you're going to find himself shanked in prison. And then everybody shut him down real quick.
He'll turn up to have cancer and die. Shit.
I'm surprised he didn't die because he's been in prison for about 2-3 years and he's still breathing. I'm surprised they haven't got one of the boys up in there to go ahead and off him.
Mm-hmm. So he won't start running his mouth. So he can try to get out
of the deal. They got Larry Davis, inmate that didn't even live in that same housing that Larry Davis lived, and was able to carry a 12-inch steel shank. They was able to get to Larry Davis, and he was paralyzed from the waist down from the beatings he took from the police. Got stabbed him to death, and he couldn't defend himself. But they had vowed to get even with Larry because he embarrassed them when they tried to take him out, because he had the evidence showing that there was crack dealing cops in the South Bronx. And they didn't stop until they took away his wheelchair. The judge demanded to get his wheelchair back, but he was paralyzed from the waist up and the beating he took from the police. I mean, this is awful how the criminal justice system are criminals, and that when you are victimized, you're black, you're victimized, there's no one really to fend for you. The elected officials, I call them, as a attorney, I call them elected officials. They have no shame. They have no conscience. The Congressional Black Caucus, if they will say anything about what's going on in these rash of killings of black men, there's no hearings. We've had the paralysis of the analysis of what's going on with all these rash of killings of black men by police. It's endemic. It is a systemic thing where they can kill black men, and the average white cop or black cop, for that matter, know they can get away with it.
Well, these politicians, they're going to say or do a doggone thing. Tell you to hold your breath, because they're trying to play it safe because election time is coming up next year.
That's right.
But you see, a lot of them were out there cooning for Hillary Clinton when she had to give her testimony before, you know, especially that doggone Elijah Cummings out of Baltimore.
And Sheila Jackson Lee.
Please, don't forget her.
You know, Elijah Cummings, he has that reparations bill, Mother Hattie. We were talking about reparations on your show for the past 2 weeks. But now, it's something, I was listening to this report, and it's something like what Elijah Cummings does is he, no, not Elijah Cummings, John Conyers. Is it Conyers with the reparations bill?
Yeah, Conyers.
Conyers from Michigan.
Yeah, but he pulls it. He'll pull it, and then he'll put it back on the table. Then he'll pull it, and he'll put it back on the table. So he's playing games with that reparations bill, too. It's like he's just putting it out there just to put it out there. But he's not trying to push it or really do anything with it, from my understanding. Does anybody know anything about that? It's a certain time, like, he pulls it or something
when
like that.
When he knows he's done in the polls, and when he knows he needs to rally the black base within which to get reelected, like he did the last time he narrowly won his seat in this last this last re-election.
Right.
So they have to pander to the black community and pull out this bill, because all that bill is, it's a study. The bill that he put forth is, in Congress says it's a study for reparations. Not saying that you're going to get nothing. It just says Congress needs to study it to see if black people are not authorized to get reparations based on what has happened to us. So it's not anything. They just know they're going to be writing checks to give people anything. It's just a study. Like, they have to study for the goldfish, study for the bats or whatever else. They write up all kinds of stuff. They say, okay, we need to study this because they're going extinct, so we need to do a study on that.
Yeah.
So that's
why won't Conyers go into the investigation as to how Detroit, Michigan was dug in by the predatory lending loans, where the banks, the federal government, Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac, destroyed housing for black people whose houses was foreclosure, rendering the town of Detroit to become like a ghost town. Somebody
He's not
going to
say anything, can he? Remember his wife, Monica Conyers, she did some prison time for scheming and dealing, because she used to be the president of Detroit City Council. And they found out that she was doing some dealing. She went to prison. That's what shut Conyers up, because she did 3 years in prison when she took a plea deal. So he's not going to say, so they got dirt on him. So for right now, he's going to shut up. He's not going to say nothing.
That's right.
Because all of that stuff, all of them can of worms going to get opened up on him. So that's why he mumped. They need to go, because they're a liability. Matter of fact, he's been in office since 1964. John Conyers has been in Congress since 1964. He needs to go. He's been in there long
enough on
this planet.
The same thing with this woman who's the congressperson in Washington, D.C., Eleanor Holmes Norton. She's been in Congress for all these years and never did lead a movement to say, if white folks did it in Boston Harbor when they were trying to get democracy, taxation without representation was tyranny. And you got all these years now, D.C., the blacks have no self-control as far as they have no one to, they have no self-determination. They're paying taxes.
For statehood.
Yes. And she's been in Congresswoman, like I said, almost as long as John Conyers. Then, last but not least, let's not forget Maxine Waters in Los Angeles. Her husband
and let's not forget Sheila Jackson Lee. Sheila Jackson Lee was sitting right there behind him.
She was. The whole hearing. Don't tell me she's jockeying for a position once Hillary gets elected.
Hillary's not getting elected. I can tell you, she's not going to be elected. And speaking about, you know, about all this jockeying, you're talking about Helena Holmes Norton. Did you hear that WHUT, the only black-owned public station on Howard University campus, they're talking about auctioning off it?
Right, I saw that. Talking about what?
Talking about that, but that TV station, WHUT, that's on Howard University, that's the only, in this country, that's the only black public television station in the United States, public affairs TV station. The only one. And it's up now, they're talking about, okay, with the budgetary constraints and all that, they're talking about selling off that station, about auctioning the
Well, remember that was
talking about.
Remember that was the Koch brothers who got into the United Negro College Fund, gave them some money through the brother that was the new executive director. And so when you start doing things like that, you know, they come in and they give you some other suggestions on how they can diminish people even further who have African descent. I want to go back to the reparations just for a moment with the John Conyers. And you're absolutely right that he didn't, he's really not serious about that. And even from the beginning, some of the people that are nationalists have said that he was actually even, you know, paid off so that it didn't get any momentum. So, it seems as though I'm going to bring back Dr. Robert Brock again, the work that he did on reparations, whereby it was filed through the international courts, because nothing will happen through the United States of American courts for the reparations. But the work that he did stopped them dead in their tracks, and is said to be U.S. is in checkmate on reparations for its people of African descent. And when we realize that and stop playing all these other silly games with this stuff and really latch on to where the power lies, and I think we're kind of headed toward that way, because I've heard a lot of people now talking about, you know, the United Nations and that kind of thing, and going to court there for even human rights for us. And if you remember, what did Dr. Short tell us? He said that United Nations, the United States, wouldn't even sign on to the Human Rights Bill because it would put us in, Dr. Short said it, he says, you know, put U.S. in a bind. So they don't even want to sign on to this human rights bill that was in there in the United Nations.
The United States is not going to sign off on any human rights bill because they're going to self-indict themselves.
Right.
All of the atrocities that they have done in this country, then they want to
exactly
put their mouth to say they want to go there and help the Syrians and the Libyans and everybody else they want outside the country to help. But right here in these United States, they have people that suffer some worse human rights atrocities, starting with the overstuffing of these prisons that they're stocking up with bodies in it. These debtors' prisons that they are running. Because the other day I went to my mailbox and I opened, I guess the person used to live here before we moved. And this person, you know, I don't know how the court system was generated a letter, because this was from since 2003. They sent out a seatbelt violation telling this guy it's $110. This was since March of 2003. Tell him he needs to go and pay this bill. Now, I know that they know for over 13 years that this person haven't paid this bill, but somebody or other sold that debt off to a private debt collection agency. Now they're sending out bills to the last known address to tell this person they need to come and pay this fine. That's what this country's about. It's about collecting people for something as trivial and stupid as that. That's the problem in 2003. You should have wrote that stuff off.
Yes.
Sure.
Write that off.
Yes,
well, you know, America will never sign off to become a member of International Criminal Court for the same reason. Atrocities they have committed, and they have the secret prisons in Eastern Europe. The CIA got the secret prisons, and Congress doesn't seem to get a handle on that scandal. You got the war expanding in Iraq, where you got the American supposedly sold, security. They're now involved with now zapping, raiding the ISIS headquarters. Wherever they can find ISIS at, now they're going to be raiding ISIS. So this war is now being extended into Iraq, where they're supposed to pull the soldiers out. And what's going on here in America, where the blacks have no representation in Congress. They have no representation locally. You know, there's a demonstration tomorrow at the village, Washington Square Park, where they're trying to protest the closing of Rikers Island, which has been known as a torture chamber. Over 80% of the inmates cannot afford bail, and they're in that torture chamber being beaten by the guards. Inmates had a young man on Rikers Island for 3 years. Couldn't get a trial. All he wanted was a trial. He knew he was innocent. All he wanted was a trial. Couldn't get not one black member of the city council to hold this mayor feet to the fire and say, hey, you got the black vote, you got the Latino vote, why won't you do anything to help some man get out of jail? He has been in jail for 3 years. All he wanted was, he swore he was innocent. All he wanted was a trial. When he finally got a trial, they threw out his case because he had no evidence.
He didn't want a trial. He's talking about Khalif Browder. The guy that committed suicide back in July of this year.
Yes.
Because of the things that he went through. This was a 16-year-old child. When they grabbed him up, a minor, and threw him in there with all of these hardened criminals. And,
That's right. You know,
he spent more time in solitary confinement because of all of the atrocities and things that was happening to him out there. You know, prisons turn people into criminals. Because you go in there thinking that you're going to come up, you're going to reform from whatever bad behavior that they say you have, but you're going to come up worse.
Yeah. All over a book bag. All over a book bag. They accused
a backpack.
Him, man.
It was a backpack.
Somebody accused him of stealing
the
backpack. Right. And then the person actually came out and said, no, that's not the person that stole my backpack or something like that. And the young man was still arrested and sent to jail all of that time. Then he comes out and commits suicide.
And no one is held accountable, from the police who arrested him to the prison guard who tortured him, beat him up. No one is held accountable. And you got this liberal mayor named de Blasio, who's a fake, a fraud, and a phony. No one wants to call this mayor on the carpet. Who will be looking for the black vote to get him reelected? Some keep thinking he's going to be a one-term mayor. But who is worthy to take his place when you got no one? No one. I'm just saying that he is a saint, but he only can get away with what he get away because he is not being held accountable by the same people who put him in there with their vote. And there's no spiritual leaders here in the metropolitan area of New York City to deal with this mayor. So he probably will run a game, put up some money to some of these pastors who are at their hands up like a monkey at the zoo, and they will get people out to vote for this mayor, but has nothing to show for based on what his platform was. And then you have the fact that the police commissioner knew that he messed up because he was a stool pigeon for Giuliani, the former mayor. He's not going to, he said he's going to want to be in his de Blasio administration if he wins the second term. He's resigning if he becomes a mayor for the second term. So we don't have the organizing to deal with people who betray us. See, we're the only race of people that will vote and then wait and see. We don't hold people accountable. We don't even make concession demands. Before we get our vote, here's what we want you to do. No, not even a concession demand. So, you know, we've been in this town of New York City for far too long not to understand how the game is being played. We have Irish, Italian, and Israeli. They didn't stop until they got two things going for them that blacks never had going for them: political and legal protection. Not only here in New York City, blacks don't have it, but nationwide, black people, no matter where we are, do not have political or legal protection. And without those two components, you're seen as what? A slave. Subhuman. But you definitely will not have the affordable right to have due process, to be justice in the courtroom. You got a prison farm in the U.S. of A. that during slavery was the biggest slave plantation. Now it's the biggest prison farm named after an African nation called Angola. This is horrendous.
It was named because the majority of the enslaved Africans on that plantation, they came from Angola. So that's where they get the name from.
Well, you know, the fact is that after all these years, there has been a congressional black caucus. They haven't had the spine to call the governor, the top legislators of Louisiana on the carpet on a congressional hearing. How is it possible? An inhumane prison there, so inhumane that when you die on the grounds of that prison farm, your family cannot take your body elsewhere to be buried. Well, they don't just want you to be buried. You are buried on the grounds of that prison farm. Now, this is totally indicative of how detached we are from the reality of gaining respect for our people when you have leaders that are corrupt, incompetent, and inept. I don't know how to deal with getting justice for our people. And may God bless Adam Clayton Powell Jr. I'll settle for a handful of Adam Clayton Powell Jr. In the Congressional Black Caucus, or even local elected officials. Oh, by the way, I'm praying for you all down here, people in supposed to be a terrible storm coming your way.
Storm coming. I don't know if that's Patricia. Is it Patricia that's coming down that way? Oh Lord Jesus, oh my God, she's getting a lot of rain out this way too, but she's got the highest wind, the hurricane in the history of this country.
So
yeah, that's supposed to be a really, really bad one. I should get prepared down there now.
Seriously.
It's going to hit you. Well, we're getting a lot of rain because it started raining from yesterday, but it's not as bad as y'all, because we're so far inland, it's not going to really do much damage out here, but y'all are right up here, right on the Gulf Coast. Y'all normally get all of that bad weather out that way, like y'all did the last time earlier this year when that storm came through and flooded out all parts of them, with the San Marcos, San Antonio, and all up in your area.
Oh, yes. Oh, that was really bad. They're still doing a lot of cleanup from around there. Speaking of Houston, let me bring out this story before we close out. I don't know if you've heard about this, Sarah, since you're there in Texas. You know, on Texas Southern campus, there's been a rash of shootings. I think it's been like 4 or 5 shootings on Texas Southern campus this month.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell is going on with that.
I don't know either.
Yeah, that's crazy. And, I mean, it is like, but, you know, Texas Southern sits right there across from CUNY Homes Housing Projects. And I know a lot of the parents who have students there, they said they're pulling their children out of Texas Southern. I just think that's just really, really sad, because those students are there trying to go to school and get their little education, and to have to be, you know, deal with all of this shooting and all of this carrying on. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, there's some comprehensive plans to do exactly what those parents are doing. Comprehensive plans, you know, there's always these old setups to cause people to be upset and to have certain institutions go down. And I would suspect there's some kind of old agents in there, regardless of whatever, that's been paid to cause all this hell and havoc. little demons that, you know, sell out, that'll do anything for a buck.
It's probably not even our people. It's probably not even our people, because you got to look to see that area is going to be gentrification.
True.
If they're trying to regentrify that area, then they could be trying to maybe take that school and make it a part of either, Texas A&M, or any one of those campuses up there that's trying to shut that school down.
Because that's right.
Devious.
Never know what these people are into. Yeah.
And you know what? And let me say this. That's a good point right there, because there was just some controversy recently at Texas Southern, because Texas Southern was promoting, You know, they were recruiting more students, but they had all white people in the damn commercial for Texas Southern, a historically black college.
All white people. Are you saying we know what's going on there. Trying to change that image.
Yeah, and that in Texas Southern sits in Third Ward, which is being gentrified. They're moving all of those black people out. What's that on? They're moving all of those black people out because they're building all of these warehouse condos and the, you know, expensive townhomes. They're building some sustainable homes also, because there is like a little container home there in Third Ward.
So they want the land.
They're getting ready to move. After they finish gentrifying Third Ward, then they're moving all the black people out of Fifth Ward. Now, Fifth Ward has a bunch of elderly black people, so I wonder what the hell is going to happen with these elderly black people.
They really don't give a darn about
that. They don't care.
Because Howard University is the same thing. Howard University, ever since, because Howard have that medical school, and they have the medical hospital there, because there's only about two black HBCUs left that have a hospital, a teaching hospital attached to their school. Howard University has one, Morehouse has one, and I believe Meharry in Tennessee, they still have theirs. So, and all of these schools, you look on those campuses, you see that it's not predominantly black anymore. You get a lot of Arabs and Asians.
Prairie View is the same way, Sarah. Prairie View is the same way. I used to go on Prairie View campus once a week, and I mean, I tell you, it's not only the faculty, it's the students too. You see more, you don't know what they are, walking around on campus, than you see the black students. Because they get those... They get the minority scholarships, so they're able to, because, you know, these white folks don't have no money no more.
And I get frustrated, and people, you know, they say, you know, you're being hard, because this is what has happened to us with the civil rights movement. We keep talking about civil rights, which is supposed to be for black people, indigenous people, descended of enslaved Africans. Now you get all these people coming from all over the place, Mexicans, you know, Hispanics coming from all over the doggone place who have no roots here. And they get to come in here and they get to use minority scholarship to go to these damn schools. This is a black school, historically black. That's what it means, historically black. It isn't Mexican or multicultural or biracial. It ain't got nothing like that in the name.
They have no shame. They are bold and brazen, because, you know, that black people are so deaf, dumb, and blind. You can fan it right in their face. And we would just look the other way and say, what are we going to do? What can we do?
If they say that.
Even
bothers them.
We have surrendered to white supremacy, to racism, and it's as if we're saying we're ready for the oven. Starting with the concentration camps, because I swear, before military bases that we kept the mothballs has been preserved for black folks.
I wouldn't go that far, Kent, to see that.
Why
it's
not?
Just that, you know, we don't have no proprietary rights to anything that we own. It's like everything we do, whether it be like, you know, we invest rap, breakdance, and all these other things that we do, we let other people come in and take it over. Like rap music, you got Eminem and all these white boys coming in, they're taking over.
We don't
put limits on things. We said, okay, we don't mind having you come in here and you partake in it. But it's not yours. This is black. We don't do that. Mm-hmm. We don't say, we don't mind. Well, you know, everybody could come and everybody could use. That's the same bad thing we do to civil rights. We don't put a limit on people. We invite people into our homes And the next thing you know, these people are coming and they take over your home, and you sleeping outside in a tent. That's what normally happens with us. People come in and take over our stuff and put us out.
You know, I was done with these black folks with the hip-hop music and everything when they allowed Eminem to be touted as the greatest rapper or this great rapper and allow him to win all of these awards and everything. And this new little white guy, Macklemore, I mean, they act like he's the best thing since sliced bread.
No, you got an Australian girl that called me Iggy Azalea, you know, she's next up and coming thing. It's like, we don't set no proprietary limit. It's like, you go to Japan right now, Japanese, they're taking over the genre of jazz. They're taking over jazz in Japan. Same thing goes for reggae music. They're playing better reggae music than Bob Marley. You know, you listen to more Japanese artists and you listen to Bob Marley and the original reggae beats. Same thing goes for jazz. We don't put no proprietary limits on our music. We just make it a free-for-all, and people come from all these different cultures and they take our stuff, and of course they're not going to give you any credit for it.
Of
course not. Why give a sucker an even break? Why give a sucker an even break? But listen, Sarah, you said you don't think this government would go that far with putting us in concentration camps. Don't forget, when they took away our reconstruction rights, the North ran by Republicans, told the South ran by Democrats, told them revival if they would not ever talk about secede from the Union again. The North would pull the Union troops out of the South that was guaranteeing black people their reconstruction rights, and they told the South, you could do to the blacks whatever you wanted. That's when the lynchings began and the Klan was born. And we have to understand, if it happened with a government-approved program, that could be double-crossed and taken away from blacks for fear of a second civil war. But to think they'll do now with a black man leaving the White House who was up the butler, the chauffeur, or the doorman, but was the chief executive, now that he's leaving the White House in another interview next year, what do you think his wife was going to do to us?
Well, ain't nothing changed, Candy, from what is happening to us. It's just now because you have social media. And
they're going
to
up the ante.
Everybody has a cell phone. You're able to see a lot more. Nothing is going to happen more than what was happening before. But because of media coverage, you are able to get instant access to what is happening. Black people condition has not changed. We are still in the same position where police could kill us at will and any other random person walk up on you and shoot you down and kill you. And all we're going to do is say, okay, let's hold another rally, let's hold another march, let's run off to Washington, D.C. You know, that seems to be, everybody want to run to D.C. or walk around, you know, the White House or whatever, doggone memorial, and then you come back and you feel good about it later on. You know, that's all we want to do. We don't want to act, be proactive and say, you know what, you don't see this happen to the Chinese. Chinese are not getting shot down and killed in their Arabs are not getting shot and killed in their neighborhoods. Because they stand up for themselves. They draw a line and they say, you know what? This happened to us. This is what's going to happen. All these churches you talked about earlier that's getting burnt in Missouri. One of the first things I hear the pastor come on and say, oh, well, we forgive them. We don't, we love everybody and we don't see a problem. And, you know, that's what's wrong with you. Somebody just burned your doggone church down and you come along, they tell them about forgiveness and you have love in your heart and all this nonsense. That's why we get disrespected.
You're exactly right about that. Well, I want to read our Women United statement, and we'll get ready to close out. Let me see here. Now, Motherhead, I don't think I have our up-to-date version, but I think this, I'm not sure which version this is because we've been working on this, but I'll just start with this. Unless you have our latest version up and handy. Do you, Motherhead? I can read what we have.
I can grab that just for one moment, Paul, and I will get it.
All right. Okay. Anybody have any closing comments? I do see this. I'm looking on Twitter now, Sarah, and I do see this story about Angela Bassett and this bisexual scene with Lady Gaga. I guess Angela Bassett just said, well, damn, I got to make some money before I'm too old to do it because they sure, you know, they don't give Angela Bassett the roles that she deserves, and she's a true lesbian. I believe she graduated from Yale. I think Yale Acting School.
Yeah. Let's make her out of high school. Yeah, she's a Yale graduate. But to me, it makes no sense. Even no Isaiah Washington that said, "Oh, he's making a big coming out movie." No,
I knew they were going to get him. You know, they were mad at him when he made that comment about
Grey's Anatomy. Man, if they're putting them in a dress, they got them acting. Putting them in a dress. These men wearing dresses on TV. If they got
okay,
I don't know what the hell is going on with our people, man.
Are you ready? Yes, we are.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Working statement from Women United regarding the attacks on black women such as Rekia Boyd, Diana Stanley Jones, Sandra Bland, and many others. Women United denounce and detest the vicious attacks on black women that we've been historically plagued with, and it seems to have escalated in more recent times. We are 100% human beings and deserve to be protected and with equal justice under the law and other entities. The recent vicious behavior and disrespect of the lives of black women must stop. These are unconscionable, deplorable acts and actions occurring in a country that considers itself to be civil and democratic. A plan of action must be adopted and implemented immediately to stop the terror on black women. Women United is placing a call to action for all women groups, organizations, and men to rectify these crimes against the humanity of black women. To make your statement and to act to protect the humanity of our sisters, contact Women United at women.united7777@gmail.com.
All right. And thank you so much for reading that, Mother Hattie. And thank you, Aja. Namaste to you. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, King B and Delta. Thank you for those hot topics. And thank you, listeners, all of you out there. And we will not be airing on next week. Scotty's going to be on vacation, so we will not broadcast next week. But we can always have conversations amongst ourselves. Peace and love. And tune in to our Mother Hattie show on Tuesdays. What's that phone number, Mother Hattie, for your show on Tuesday? 2 o'clock p.m.? All right, we lost Mother Hattie, I believe. All right, peace and good night. Love you.